I hope you have all the necessary papers. Maybe let me begin this meeting by welcoming all the honorable members to this first meeting of 2010 of this portfolio committee. And in particular, Honorable Skosana, the House Chair, who is a member of the committee and also a member of the IEP, who has been absent for some time, not very long, due to some ill health. Let me, on behalf of this committee, further apologize to Honorable Skosana that we've not been able, as the portfolio committee, to pay him a visit during that period. Of course, it was due to the health program towards the end of the year. But we're very grateful that he's with us. We've been missing that experience with years. As I've indicated, the first meeting of this year, we hope that after the holidays, everybody has relaxed and you coming back refreshed, ready and raring to go in terms of 2010. But remember that 2010 will be a short year. We have the 2010 World Cup. We are also preparing for the local government elections. Next year, we're going for the local government elections, and all the parties will definitely be preparing for that. Members, therefore, should be prepared when need arises to work under pressure. But let me raise my serious concern that this committee, since we started, has never had a full complement. To me, that's a very serious concern. So I'm appealing, therefore, to the different parties to prioritize the work of this committee. We have the agenda circulated. Is everybody having the agenda? Was it sent? No. Okay. The agenda is those outstanding kids, the apologies, the 2009 outstanding issues, the committee program for this term ending at the end of March, and our program for 2010, of course, it's an addition on our program which we're having, which is a five-year program. Number five would be the committee report, 2009 committee report, which must be submitted at the end of that's number five, at the end of March. So it will be the committee report and challenges. The last item is any other business. Any additions to the agenda on an issue you feel very strong about, which must be in this agenda? Seeing that there is no addition, it's formally moved by Honorable Sunduza and seconded by Honorable Mugu. Any objections? None. unanimous. Shall we go to the apologies? We've received two apologies, in fact three. Dr. Koronoff has just left because of the budget lockup, so he's part of that. And we also have Honorable General Olomisa, who will not be able to attend the committee or the committee meetings. That's what the apology is saying, on the 16th to the 26th of February and March 2010. That's the apology we have received. So it's not just this meeting. 16th also to the 26th and even meetings in March. That's the apologies we've received. The letter doesn't go beyond as to what are the issues. We will leave it there. The third one comes from Honorable Mubu, that both as DA members, Honorable Mukhalapa and the Honorable Mubu, will have to excuse themselves at 11:45 for another meeting. Any other apology which we can note, because it's verbal, it's not written, there's none. Thank you. Shall we accept those apologies? Honorable Mahau moves that we accept the apologies and is seconded by Honorable Skosana. If there's no objection, thank you. It's unanimous that we accept these apologies. Let's go to item number three, which is 2009 outstanding issues. Honorable members, I just want to check if the document which we prepared with the support staff members was circulated to the members. Abuskosan?
Yeah, no.
Thank you. Thank you. There's a document which I just want to talk to briefly on the outstanding issues which are emerging from our strategic plan and the operational plans of 2009. Our strategic plan, you'd remember, runs from 2009 to 2013. So there are some issues which have not been completed. Not because of our own fault. It was a number of those were postponed by the higher offices when we wanted to undertake those activities. Just briefly, in that document we have circulated to you, you'd remember we should have had an activity last year in Limpopo. And that activity was postponed at the last moment. We therefore believe that we should follow up that activity now in March in the form of going into Limpopo, identifying the two universities, that is University of the North and UNIVEN, to interact with the stakeholders there in relation to our what we call the national interest. we think that we must be able to press for that activity. That's one big area which needed us to deal with. But also in this report, you'd remember that we had talked about visiting at least two provinces. But we must appreciate that we have very short time between now and the end of March. It might be important that we consider this community in the Western Cape, which can be a day to us, around the UCT and the UWC on this debate on the foreign policy, and see if we cannot be able to engage, because our target also should be the student communities who are dealing with these issues, and also some of the experts who can be able to do some critique on our foreign policy issues. So that's the proposal which we have put together with the staff, and we believe that those activities are the activities which can fit within this particular year. Colleagues, we also should have, as part of our oversight work, I want to refer you to page 2. This is in the... Yes, Chief.
Sorry, Chair. Before we leave the first point that we've just been discussing, do I recall that we also had suggested that during the visit to one of the two universities in Limpopo, that would also find time to probably visit a border post, if I recall. And I think also the point of discussion was the issue of xenophobia and also a visit to a refugee camp or something like that. Thank you.
Honorable, you're quite correct. That's the package. That's the package that... our visit will have all those elements. So in terms of our motivation and the program which we should draft with the staff, it is going to be inclusive of all those elements. And you'd remember that we were saying we would use those universities as the base, but we want to expand and invite the larger communities. And maybe on some of the days, the intention is to look into the border post and those communities, the impact, which we have also said it also overlaps into the scope of the Home Affairs, because it's about immigration. We might have to invite one or two people from the Home Affairs to deal with that issue. And this debate of xenophobia can be one of the issues for debate and even for education in the communities which we'll be visiting. I wonder if there's anyone who wants to have a take before we pass on that item. Honorable Sunduza, you want to raise something? I can see your eyes are talking. You're comfortable. But I also wanted to say to the members, I want us just to focus you. I'm not going to follow them logically as they are. I want to focus you on number 6. Number 6 is about Zim, which is at our doorstep, which impacts this country. I think as a committee, we have watched the process of the the GPA, how it is unfolding, where is it taking us to? Are we resolving the impasse? Are we seeing progress in that process? How do you want to take that matter forward? What do we need to do? I'm raising this thing because we had in our mind that at some stage we would need to have some visit in either in one of the African countries, whether this cannot be achievable. But as Parliament, by the way, we're not diplomats. As Parliament, we're the representatives of all our people. What are we saying in relation to that? Honorable Sunduza, you seem to be itching on this one.
Sorry. Thank you, Chair. Maybe I was following the sequence. As a young person, I've finished the whole thing. Can I comment on all those issues, if you allow me? But I'll start with Zimbabwe.
I'll start with Zimbabwe before you come to the others.
I will start with Zimbabwe because, Chair, I think we also have been acting as diplomats, I would say, on this issue. And to be honest, I would say we are, I don't like the way we are failing. But my suggestion to be to this committee, or my input would be, number one, as much as we've got a shorter time frame, Zimbabwe, I would suggest that we visit, we meet the MPs there that are in this committee as well, which are the multi-party system as well, you know, so that we can get the situation from all sides of it, and it will help to have an oversight also from our side to see what is being reported, because as far as I'm concerned on my side, we are not assisting the situation as well, and we can't be saying it's one issue we can wait. Yes, I know we've agreed in this committee that where the African Renaissance Fund is being utilized, we have to go and see it, but I think for now, let Zimbabwe be a priority, because it's our neighbor. And the situation is at its worst, at its best. I know we are diplomatic about this issue, but I from my side, I would suggest that, and to meet the reps. And can I continue?
No.
Oh, no.
I'm coming to the other issue. Honorable Skosana.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to support the views expressed by my colleague there. I think it is also a constitutional mandate, really, to, as Parliament, to engage parliaments in other countries. And I think for some time now we have been battling with the principle whether we should leave the executive and the president alone in matters of peacemaking. And my argument has been that let's leave the president and the executive on a level of reconstruction and development, where they could put in resources and so on. But when it comes to implementation of peace and making sure that peace is sustained, then you need members of parliament to meet with the members of parliament in that country. She was talking about the Foreign Relations Committee in Zimbabwe, just like ours. Because members of parliament are the ones who are dealing with constituencies which are in conflict, not the president or the executive. It is those members of parliament in Zimbabwe, whether they come from MDC, ZANU, or whoever, they are the ones who are dealing with the people on the ground who are in conflict. And therefore, they are the people who I believe have the correct mandate to deal with the questions of peace on the ground. I think if we can adopt and insist on the principle, even if we go to Sudan, whenever we go to the DRC, we should insist on meeting the Foreign Relations Committee of that country, so that we can deal with the issues which are coming on the ground. Otherwise, the kind of contracts or peace agreements that are simply at the level of the president and executive do not last. I mean, we did it with the DRC. There we are having the the resurgence of the conflict again. We did it in Zimbabwe because we neglected the people in Zimbabwe. We are in fact the custodian of the process if it's going to be peaceful. So I want to support the view.
Thank you. Thank you, Papa. Any further input on this matter? So, yes, Honorable.
Thank you very much, Chair. I could not agree more with my two colleagues, and I think it's really the onus on us to be able to pick up the issues that we feel concern our country, especially when they happen close to our borders. And I think we'll be failing in our duty as a parliament and a portfolio committee on international relations if we don't take the lead in articulating the issues, such as what we're talking about, but also the issues such as DRC and Sudan. At government level, the Honorable Scotson has said, really the involvement is takes a diplomatic level, diplomatic tone. But we are parliamentarians, and our approach is different, so that we can also influence the executive decision on these issues. When we come back with a report that's comprehensive enough, for example, in Zimbabwe, we could, in a sense, have some kind of influence on executive decision on how to proceed with the issue of Zimbabwe. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mugu from the DA. In summary, this committee resolves that we need our own assessment in terms of the progress of the implementation of the GPA in Zimbabwe as people's representatives. Certainly, we are saying the diplomatic relations of dealing with those issues, we leave them to the executive, but as people's representatives, we will have to meet some of the stakeholders there, especially our counterparts in Parliament, and also some of the constituencies to get a briefing on their understanding, including the obstacles to this particular process. Therefore, during this period, we would be applying to have a multi-party delegation from this committee to undertake such a visit. Maybe you need to tell us about the proposals, how large that grouping should be, or you want to leave the logistics with us and the support staff. Honorable Makama.
Thank you, Chair. No, Chair, I think the other aspect perhaps we should include in that summary is, remember, we have recently spent about, I think, 100 million rand from our African Renaissance Fund. And I think it is important that we are able to assess the impact of that assistance, whether indeed the money is indeed going to where, or where it's spent, where it's supposed to be spent.
Thank you. We want to know the impact of that fund, whether it's yielding the desired result. Honorable Mukhalapa.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I just want to support what the Honorable Makama said. I think this is one of the most important oversight that we have to do. I always said, I don't believe that our committee is a boardroom committee. I think maybe that's the reason why we always struggle with the quorum. We must always go out there. We must always go out there and see, because we don't have any provincial competence. We compete on a national and international scale. So how do we make or discuss some of these issues without undertaking those oversight visits? And the African Renaissance, even the Auditor General, has raised the concern about it, that we need to make sure that we go and monitor, because he relies on us to give him a proper report that whether his money well spent. And I think, yes, much as Zimbabwe is a, you know, it's only issue, but the bigger issue for our taxpayer nationally is the issue of the African Renaissance Fund. And I think it should be prioritized. I don't know how far can we prioritize priority, because of, I think we will end up not doing much. On Saturday, I interacted with Ibrahim Asane Mayaki, the Chief Executive Officer of NEPAD Secretariat, and he was adamant that he would like to also come to the committee to come and give account of what NEPAD is doing. He felt that they are just running in silo without anyone knowing what they are doing. And I think it's quite prudent in our program, because if we can marry the African Renaissance Fund with NEPAD, I don't think they are far much apart from each other, though the scope is different. But to emphasize the point that we definitely need to make sure that we hold these people to account, and we see what's happening with the African Renaissance Fund. There might be a lot of good work that has been done that we are not aware of, that we have to go and see. And we owe it to our nation to make sure that we conduct that oversight visit. I thank you, Chair.
I think I'm a bit clear now. I was a little bit confused when my colleague here pushed in the point on the Renaissance Fund. I thought he was putting it as a condition,
okay,
whether we are going or not, whether there's money for us to go there. But now that has been clear that we need to monitor it. But I think we should get rid of this point now. And you asked a question about whether leaving the logistics to you. Or, I would say that one principle that we need to factor in is the principle of multi-partyism. To me, it would I think it would bring a more authentic also even those areas. So I wonder to factor that one in there.
So it's agreed that as part of that monitoring, we'll pick up Zimbabwe. Just before, Honorable Sunduza, you come to the other issues, let me just introduce number three, which we have already started debating about when you talk about Zimbabwe. We were also, as part of the our meeting, looking at the question of where this African Renaissance Fund is focused on, the areas like the Sudan, the DRC, and so on. But certainly, we will have to consider, if we had time, we're going to consider them this financial year. But unfortunately, we don't have time. We must not be overambitious. That those issues will go in terms of the next financial year. But there is this constraint. There is this constraint. I want to link it to number four. That committees, you've been given what is known as international tours or trips twice. Two. Is it two? For 5 years. But our argument now is going to be, to us, these are not study tours. To us, this is part of oversight. That's what has been frustrating this committee. Oversight to us and large resources are not spent in the provinces and so on. They are spent outside. So oversight to us will also have to mean going outside this particular country, interacting with the embassies. It might not be just a lot of trips, but it might also mean if you've decided to do an oversight on peacekeeping, you go to the DRC, but you hit that whole region of the Great Lakes, you pick up at about four countries, because moving from the DRC to Rwanda or Burundi, it's about 30 minutes. And also you can hit what we would call Ethiopia, which is the seat of the AU, to understand what is going there and so on. So to us then, we are going to be putting a proposal and a motivation to the powers that be that to us, going outside is not necessarily study tours, it's part of oversight work. That is why we don't have a lot of oversight inside the country, because nobody is conducting foreign policy at the provincial level or any programs at the provincial level or even at local level. The nature of the work which we are doing is outward looking. So that's the motivation which we will be pushing. So ideally, we would be able to do these things provided there's an approval, but we are going to be putting an argument. Then we are saying then, in terms of other programs, Honorable Magama, in relation to African Renaissance, we will have to put those in terms of the next year, which starts in April. We have a lot of those programs. We will be making the proposals when we deal with the program for 2010. That goes the same with number five, the issue of the diplomatic missions. You might not necessarily go to one diplomatic mission. Maybe if you've gone into, let's say, into Asia, Malaysia, you can take two or three countries surrounding that particular place to interact as to how our missions are conducting themselves, their impact, and so on and so on. So that's what we are talking about. So in terms of the same would be number seven. I mean, I think we're spending from the same Renaissance Fund in terms of deploying our own forces in the peacekeeping missions. We must be able to deal with those issues. But provided, and I want to emphasize, that there's a new approach to the work of this committee and there's agreement. And we're going to rely on proper motivations and stalwarts like Honorable Mayor Mahau and Ubaba, because we need to come up with a strong argument that our oversight work, there's very little. Of course, in terms of domesticizing foreign policy, we have this interaction with the various communities, with the institutions and so on. That's fine. That's part of educating our people on the various issues. But in terms of the actual oversight of what the department does, where it spends most of its resources, it's outside the country. So that's the who wants to have a take on this one, Honourable Sunduza.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wish I spoke before you spoke.
Okay.
Because you said something. But Chair, what I want to also raise strongly is domestic. I remember Honourable Manana was the one who raised the issue of the Pan African Parliament. I'm raising this because on these oversight issues, I know it might be late. There's a move by other African countries to move it away from South Africa, if you are aware, because it seems that we do not give it that honor or that glory, you know. And I think it would be very important. I'm not sure about the sitting now to say when is it. If it was then before the end of this term, it would be important to visit by. But also on what you've highlighted, Chair, about the universities that we talked about, it would also be important also for this committee to be part of those the significance and importance of the Pan-African Parliament in Midrand. I think it's an issue that is important for us to highlight. As you said, that there are two stalwarts here who will assist us. Maybe Chair, I think Honorable Khalaba is raising what you are raising strongly to say that we are not a local committee. We are not saying we are here to talk, or we are not saying that, but our job specifically, Chair, where I'm sitting, I can't say anything about the African Renaissance in Sudan. I know we've got money that we've given there, but I can't tell you anything because I've never seen what I'm talking about, you know. But also, while speaking on Sudan, I'm not sure whether it's me. If elections is this year, yes. I'm not sure, maybe, or am I going too fast?
I'm listening.
Oh, the way you are intimidating me with your eyes. So I'm raising this issue because I know some of the things, they sound sensitive, but there's a lot of an outcry in Sudan because, as I said, we are people's representatives on the government of Al-Bashir and the rest of SPLM. I think it's an issue that I don't know whether how does it Parliament work on issues of, as I said, Star Wars will help us, elections, how what is going to happen there? As much as you said, you can hit with a stone, all of them. So I wanted to also check that issue. But, Chair, I'm happy that you've raised it, because we sound like parrots now on this issue of the budget. That is, how do we and IR committee go on two trips once a year? I'm happy the approach that you're taking. Okay. So I'm happy the way you are hitting it to say maybe one others can deal with the EU, others with African. I mean, it's a good also segmentation of what you're saying. Yes, I think that's all for now.
With regard to the motivation, I think point four, really, you're going to find that you don't need any stalwarts. You've done a good job on point four there. Your explanation, it's a good motivation. I think, yes, it needs to be supported, but I think we have done extremely good job there. I just wanted to link point five with one. That I think it's going. Point one is going to be imperative now, because if you go to deal with diplomats and others, then you have to be glued up with the issues of national interest. And I see you are saying there that you need a dialogue somehow to tease these issues of national interest. So I think the committee has to speak with one voice when you meet the diplomats. What kind of interests are you parties supposed to be looking after, which are relating to the country? But I'm saying imperative because the other issue which has just come in and which is going to continue to be there is the issue of public interest. Our national interest is also public interest. So we would have to make that difference.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Certainly, when we package these workshops, interactions, we will and prepare the program. We will be consulting with all the members, so that we are able to be at one. So that our discussions are focused, and we're not limiting. We're able to go into that discourse of national versus public interest and so on. We know.
Chairman, if you're going to have a workshop, can I just suggest something? Because I remember a few years ago, with these issues of national interest and public interest, the executive had a workshop, a one-day workshop at Sun City, I'm sure. We used to call it Sun City at that time. With SANEF, with the
editors,
with the editors of SANEF, because then there had to be a synergy, because the media has a different view when you talk about national interest and when you talk about public interest. So I think at that time the executive wanted to see whether there can be a synergy. But I think it was there just for a while. I think President Beg was still in the head then. I think the understanding was briefly. But the problem has come back again, you see, about national interest and public interest. I think government is often accused of hiding behind national interest when we do other things, or hiding behind public interest. In the reverse, we also accuse the media and saying you are hiding behind in public interest when in fact you want to criticize our program and you say, or criticize personalities. Then you talk about public interest. So I think in that workshop, it would be wise to have the media also being part of that, so that the whole country begin to look at those interests.
Put it simply, and I think you're right. You are right into that debate now. Put it simply to us. It's the focus is foreign policy. Is it informed by the national interest or the public interest? And what is that national interest or that public interest which is informing our foreign policy? Do our people know about those issues and so on? That's the debate to us. That's why we want to bring in some communities. And we know that IDICO, with the ministry, have gone into some areas. We want to know whether our people do understand those issues. But you'd remember that it's, at some level, this becomes a bit elitist. And you also want to have the experts, the universities, and you have that audience of the students who can engage on these issues over and above the communities. And, of course, open forums, that's what we want to do. So it's part of taking that foreign policy to our own people. We'll even invite people from DICO, from ourselves, give perspectives from the experts, give perspectives and so on and so on. That's what we'll be doing. We will step off this one.
Yes, sir. Before you take the off step of this one, my view is we should not philosophize national interest, and I think that is the problem that we are doing. We're putting it more on an academic level without withstanding the real impact it has on the ground. Now, it might be a hypothetical question that I would be putting forward. You know, it might need research on it, but we must understand that there might be a link between xenophobic attacks and our lack of public diplomacy. So that might be open for debate, but I'm just putting it as a hypothetical question to this committee. So the people that matters most are the people on the ground who are living with this problem on a daily basis. And what and how do we describe their national interest? You cannot define national interest by calling SANEF and making a one-page advert on what is South Africa's national interest. You need to hear from them, and that is what public diplomacy, in my view, is all about. So notwithstanding what we are saying in as far as engaging stakeholders, you and I have been at the AGM of the department when we were engaging all the academics, and the problem arose there was who defines our national interest and what are they? And we had all the professors there, and not one single gave an answer of what is South Africa's national interest. So we need to make sure that we take this debate beyond academic level and put it raw where it matters most, because of, I think, our miscommunication in as far as what is South Africa's foreign policy or national interest causes a lot of unrest on the ground. And that is our role as parliamentarians, to make sure that we remove that myth from the ground, not to sustain what we're having at the moment. Because of having an academic debate about it is to sustain it. Nothing tangible will come. It will be recommendations and resolutions. But recommendations and resolutions do not solve the problem on the ground where it's happening. Thank you, Chair.
Can I clarify one point? My colleague, I wasn't proposing SANEF. It's one of the examples you can put in any other stakeholder. But it was important to have the media there because they are the ones that communicate with the public, whether in Venda, Zulu, English, or so they are an important factor when it comes to communicating those issues to the ordinary people that you're talking about. Not for them to come and define it for us. No, no, no. You need a vehicle of communication.
That's how I also heard you, Baba. That's fine. I think we now understand one another. I think what has emerged from this discussion, there are issues which we want urgently to put them into this year's program. There are issues which we're going to put from next financial year's program. I'm going to go to number four and talk about the committee program for this term. That's what we've been dealing with, by the way. That's what we've been dealing with. There are very clear programs which we have recommended that they must emerge, ending by the 31st of March. But let me also take you to page three. Let me take you to page three. There's this big national event being hosted by Honorable Sunduza and Kompela. I hope for portfolio committee members of international relations, there will be tickets for all the important games organized by Honorable Sundus. And we don't have
we don't even have
the t-shirts. Honorable Sundusa sits also in the sports committee. That's on a lighter one. But one of the issues which we think is very important, it's right at the top of the focus for 2010. We'll be hosting a lot, including diplomats, heads of states, and so on. It's our duty to also have an interest in terms of our state protocol launches. That's why we've put that matter. Maybe as a program for 2010, not financial year, because if you think that you can do that in March, it might be a bit late. If there are certain recommendations you want to do, it might have to come into this year. And remember, it's just a day to be able to deal with that. It's maybe 2 days. When you talk about international lunges, you're talking about, we can even split ourselves. So you must allow us to propose something for the committee next week, that this program is also undertaken this year. If there's something which we're not able to finish that program, we can overlap to April. That's very important for us, that we undertake such a tour. It's undertaking a tour. We are talking about undertaking a tour to check at the state of our what we would call the protocol lunges, the state ones, protocol lunges. You remember we had talked about this matter in the previous term, not even in relation to 2010, but generally, how are they operating? Because they are also under DECO, these lunges. That is our interest. So we would recommend just undertaking it all. We might even link to the members when they go home.
Can I add something then?
Yes, sir.
I think as a committee on foreign affairs, we need to insist that we play a role, particularly with the visiting heads of state. I'm saying this because, let me make an example. Recently there was this opening of parliament. And two of us were requested by the speaker to host the President Kaunda, former President of Zambia, and the Vice President of Nigeria, and also including Mr. de Klerk in one of the holding offices of the speaker. Now, why I say this, that is important to do that is because if you use ordinary members of parliament who are not part of the committee, then you find that that encounter becomes fruitless. You have a member of parliament who doesn't deal with these issues out there. He can't raise questions with the visiting heads of state or prime ministers or whoever. He can't raise issues. He can't even voice South Africa's foreign policy because that's not the field that he's working in. So I think what we need to do is to request for a stake in that, so that our members can also be dispatched to receive some of those people. Those halls that you're talking about are holding rooms and receiving rooms, even at airports where they have these hangars where they receive foreign dignitaries. I think we need to ask for a stake for the committee to play a positive role. So some of the issues that you've been raising about Zimbabwe and other things, then we can begin now talking about them in a positive sense with people who can take them back and have an influence at some point.
Honorable Sundoza.
Thanks once again, Chair. I am just triggered by what Honorable Skosana is saying. First, if you need T-shirts for now, give me your sizes. In sports, I'll make an example. We said to the LOC, if you give us number last, we are not coming to the World Cup. Because of the role of Parliament, because we've been passing this law, now you have this, now we are not. Second, if you remember, Chair, when we had an oversight visit to DICO, we raised this thing, Honorable Skosana, that most of those diplomats, when they come, they don't even know. Sometimes they're left with just stuff of DICO. They don't know what to say. They feel lost. Even in Parliament, I've observed some of them, they're just thrown to us, like the few that were thrown to us. They come here. When they speak with these other committee members, they find that we are not making any impact here. So it's important what Honorable Skosana is saying, because it also reflects on us as the internal IR committee. Because to them, it would be, you see, I've noticed most of these governments, although they take foreign policy or foreign affairs very serious, more than us. Let's be honest about that issue. They take it very serious. It's to them, it's all committees fall under, because this is one where diplomatic relations are. It's very important. So, I think you must really put those like Kombela on this one. Thank you.
No, I won't put those like him. No, we must raise this debate. And I think the crux of the debate, Honorable Skosana, goes back to PGIR versus Portfolio Committee. And what are the issues that are overlapping? I think we need to take it there. We have a stake in PGIR, but we must also say it can't be all the issues we think that they are coming to us. But I think you're right to say, both of you, to say we have a stake on some of those issues. We will pick up that matter. But part of this means we might also need, as these members, a basic or a quick protocol training for these members. That's part of the responsibility. It might mean that if we were to interact even at that level with public diplomats. In fact, I would have, logic is that all members of parliament are supposed to do that, logically. But for a quick one, to be able, for this committee, it means that. Because members of parliament, through their portfolios, they interact with a lot of people outside this country and so on. So, but for this committee, in preparation, and I think even members of the portfolio committee on sport, they need to be prepared here, as they will be interacting with a lot of diplomats. So they need to be prepared so that we don't sit with... Now let me leave it. The Tula's type of interaction with the... must have the honorable diplomatic way of interacting with diplomats. Colleagues, one of the areas which we think must come strongly as part of us, number two, the issue of economic diplomacy. Certainly, we must be able to say, the joint sessions with the trade committee are going to be very important. We must be able to deal with that matter at that particular level. And we will identify the various forums where we think that we have a stake. But it doesn't start with those forums. It must start with the interaction. And one of the things which I thought we need to consider to encourage that interaction, it might be important that as members, individually, we take interest in what is going on in the trade. What do you call it? Trade and what? Trade and Industry Portfolio Committee. but they have realized that they sit on the same day at the same time. And you would remember that we've discussed a lot of those issues. It might be important that we appeal to the necessary committees. You will advise us. And yes, we would appeal to those committees. And Honorable Mahau, I know that you also have some committees, and I know that some of the colleagues from honorable members from TA must find a way of separating the days, that maybe if our committee sits on Wednesday, this other committee is pushed into it, so that we take interest in that committee. There are a lot of issues we're dealing with at this particular level. We just go and attend as members, but also we would have to have formal sessions with that particular committee, something which we're going to arrange. And also on number three, on these issues for 2010, the international agreements, we think that we need to come up with a clear framework on the how and the when. You would remember how we dealt with the Cotonou Agreement. It was a quick thing which was brought to us at the last moment. We need to start with this process right from inception, because we must refuse to be the rubber stamps of the executive. We understand very well that by the Constitution, these issues are negotiated at the level of the executive. They become the competence of the president. But if we have to ratify, we must ratify something which we understand. We must not be left behind, and it's only brought to us very late, and even ratify something we do not want. So in terms of, as part of the focus, we will have to deal with that particular issue. You'd remember that we've talked about the African Renaissance Fund. The issue we're raising there, we want to check compliance, whether these allocations which are being made are done in terms of the compliance with the, as a committee, we need to focus into that. And I think as part of our oversight and monitoring, we are going to be able to say whether people have complied or not complied with the Act. That's the emphasis, as we'll be visiting some of these projects. Are they dispersing the funds according to the Act? On number five, that's going to be one of the big legislative issues or legislation issues. Who initiated this issue? You remember it has been in the State of the Nation's address by the President last year, the issue of SADPA, the Southern African Development Partnership Agency, which is, there were debates as to whether it's going to replace the African Renaissance Fund or is it going to be parallel to that. But you need to have a framework for setting up such an agent. Now the question is, who is going to be kick-starting the process? Certainly we expect the department at some stage to come and brief us on this. And we might have to request the department in the coming meetings, not necessarily the immediate one, maybe one of the coming meetings, to come and brief us about their thinking, how this process is going to be. Let me just check with the members. Is it how you kickstart legislation? Some of the legislation might be initiated by the executive. Some might be initiated by us when we see certain loopholes. So I think on this one, it might be something which must be initiated by the executive, by the ministry of TICO in particular. Babuskosan.
Chairman, yes, it's correct. I think the executive does play a role in the legislation and also the committees, including the Speaker's office. I was going to suggest that, Mr. Chairman, when it comes to international agreements, and the point that we are discussing now on five, if the chair could have a meeting with the speaker and also the chairperson of the PGIR, just to look at because the speaker is also concerned about these international agreements and the involvement of the members of parliament. I think we need to turn the issues around now because these are impacting on the sovereign authority, which are the people. Unless we turn this around, and so the speaker wants to the parliament to be more involved also now in these international agreements and also the formation of these agencies that you're talking about. So if we leave it to the executive alone, then we may find that some of the legislation that really comes here has to be reviewed at some point because it would be impacting negatively on the sovereign. So I want to suggest that a meeting with the speaker and the PGIR people would resolve some of come to a consensus about how do we go forward with these things.
Thank you for those recommendations. I think it follows up on what we have raised in relation to the overlaps between PGIR and the Portfolio Committee. I don't want to talk about Somalia because I think it's part of those reasons which we were talking about. It remains an issue around the Great Lakes where, as South Africa, were involved. And for those who might be candidates, they must also know that we might want them to visit Somalia. No, you'll be under diplomatic protection. Don't worry, there will not be any other thing happening to you. But Somalia might be part of our agenda. Engagement with the global issues. Here we've raised issues which have been taken to. You want to raise something? Honorable Sundus? Sorry? I thought that your eyes are also intimidating me. You can see you want to say something. Yes. Okay.
As I said, my mind is young, so I've read quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go back, Honorable Mubu, to the issue that you said were public reps. I am happy, Chair, that this is also the issue of Western Sahara, Sarah Wawi. I said, always that we can have a colony of Morocco in this day and age in Africa, Africa oppressing Africa. I think, Chair, at the time, I don't know whether I put it in a slogan way to say that for Morocco to stop or what it had to do, we must have the embassy. They might just close. Because I'm in this day and age, still have a kind of oppressing another. I'm not agreeing to that. You know, I'm not diplomatic about this
what?
Issue. No. But I'm raising this issue because it's an issue of a concern.
Yes. Are you done?
Yes, I heard you saying odd.
No, this bullet is making noise.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying odd to me. Okay. Maybe
yes.
I thought I was too harsh. No, I'm raising this issue because it's a real issue that we...
No, it's not the order of yesterday in the house. It's a different one. Yes.
Oh, it's not the order. I was about to walk out, Chair.
Honorable Lemu.
Just a quick comment on what Honorable Sundusa just mentioned. Now, the issue of the Sahara Republic. I think you would know that our ambassador in Morocco has not been accredited. In other words, he has not been recognized by the government as our representative there. So he's hanging in there. And their ambassador to South Africa has been recalled. So we really don't have such as diplomatic relations as such on the issue of the Sahara Republic because of our support for that. But I think... I would also agree that I think that our government has not been really forceful on the issue of continuing colonialization of another territory by another African territory. So I think I'm subject to direction as to how this committee can get itself involved in that issue, because I think it's this time of our development as a continent, we should not allow that kind of thing to happen. I support your views.
We're going to request our researchers just to do some little background work, but check as to what have been the interventions. And then we come to this conclusion, because we are of the view that not much has been done to take forward the cause of Western Sahara. We can't be having these issues on the agenda even at the international level and there's no solution. And some of the people continue to enjoy all the necessary respect whilst they do not respect other people. So we're going to request our researchers to quickly do that, send it to the members. We are interested in the interventions which have been done at the international level and even by our own government in relation to this particular matter. So it was Western Sahara, but also one of the areas which has been elevated to the international level becomes the issue of Israel-Palestine. The whole Middle East. Hence, in that debate, when we were saying a visit in one of these countries, you can be able to deal with a number of countries. You can even go to Iran, because there's a standoff at the moment in relation to the nuclear issues. Just to also, when you are in your embassy, to have an understanding as members as to what is going on. You have Syria and so on. So we will have to deal with these matters and package them properly, because these are the issues of interest to this particular committee. And certainly, I must motivate from my side. It cannot be, because if we hear everybody else who has come back from Israel, I mean from Palestine, will tell you that apartheid was like a Sunday picnic in terms of what is going on there. It might be important that as members of parliament, we organize something where we can be able to witness this on our own. But of course, trying to be objective, we visit both and hear the story from both sides of Palestine and Israel. But remember that there are processes to try to deal with this conflict mediated by different forces, the United States, Egypt, and the region is doing something and so on. So it might be important that we take interest in terms of that particular region and that particular conflict in Israel and Palestine. The third global issue which is not here Honorable Makama, what is the significance of the AU decision to support South Africa in its bid for, is it a temporal seat? What do you call it? In the United Nations? The non-permanent seat. What is, you see, I'm not using the international language, I'm using the trade union language of casual temporal workers and permanent workers, you see. What is the significance of that? What are the lessons? It might be of interest to us. It's a very serious issue. And I'm not sure what the members want to say in relation to that.
Chairman,
You
raised all these issues about Morocco, Israel, and now the EU. And we were going to take a decision on what to do after we had read the research material. But is it not going to be more appropriate also to to couple that with the, if we receive the research material. But then you set a date of a meeting where we're going to have briefings from the department on Morocco, or the interventions, and on the Middle East, and also on this non-permanent seat, and as it relates to the AU decisions. Then after that, then we can then begin saying this is the step we're going to take as a committee, because I think all along that is why really we're not making impact on some of these issues, because we've undermined the power of the legislature, of members of parliament, which other countries don't. I think so. It's only South Africa where the power of the legislature has been undermined. When in fact you go to the constitution, you're always saying that you are the voice of the people. Now, where you derive power really is from the people. The sovereign is the people. And therefore, you will find that we do have the powers to say, fine, we can deal with this matter in such a way as members of the legislature. That is why I say that we need to insist on talking to members of the legislatures in other countries where there are problems. We shouldn't leave the conflicts to the executive. It's a different level of power with the executive. Then you have your own power as the legislature, which we need to use all the time. And we have not been using it for the last 16 years. We are told by the executive this is the situation, and then we leave it there. We don't really use our own powers as the legislature to say this. We are the voice of the people. We are the voice of the sovereign authority. We need to do it in the name of the people. This is how it has to go. We've never used that, Mr. Chairman.
Honorable Makama, I thought you wanted to say something on the UN.
Not Chair, thank you. I think I have been covered by Honorable Baba when he said that perhaps we need the research material coupled with briefings from the department on these issues and use that as a basis to proceed.
Okay. Honorable Mkhalap.
Just to echo the sentiments of my two colleagues there, is the issue of often there are UN resolutions that have been taken, and we wait for some controversial issue to parachute itself, and then that's when we intervene. Up to which level does the UN ambassador engage with us as the committee? Because of always we wait for a briefing on a very controversial issue or a very controversial resolution or vote that they have taken. And coming to what Honorable Skosana is saying, what is our role, what is our impact on that? Because of that ambassador that doesn't represent himself. He represents us, and I think he should be going with our mandate. So up to which level of engagement do we do to make sure that there is synergy and we are taken on board? Because of always that is where the thoughts are crossed, because if we don't understand, even as legislatures, why did the particular ambassador arrive at such a position?
Honorable Mark.
Yeah, you see, it's a very interesting issue that has been raised by Honorable Mkhalap. Because, you see, Chair, and I actually want to latch on to what Babu Skosana said, Honorable Babu Skosana said at some point in the previous meetings, that international relations is one of those areas of work which really require all parties to work together in a non-partisan way. Now you see, the issue that has been raised by Honorable Mkhalap is a matter that has been contested, especially in the media. You will recall, in fact, opposition parties went to the extent of accusing government of supporting votes that would prevent the United Nations to express itself or condemn totalitarian regimes that violated the human rights of other peoples. Now, well, I think history has proven the approach, because it was merely a question of approach, but I think history has proven the approach of government correct in that regard. And indeed, I think we have achieved more than we would have by merely standing on a podium and condemning, you know. Now, I am saying, Chair, but we also need, I think, to be careful not to want to meddle in the actual conducting of the foreign policy of the country. I do not see a situation where we could have the ambassador to the UN come to the portfolio committee and report why South Africa is. I think for that we have the department. You see, unless we would want to instruct the ambassador to do otherwise. So I'm saying we just need to be careful there that we do not, you know, taking into account our roles and responsibilities as a parliament, a representative of the people, distinct from that of the executive and its functionaries in the execution of their duties. So I'm just saying that in doing that, we need to be a bit circumspect in the manner in which we approach that matter.
No, colleagues, we must have understand that for us, we do oversight and monitoring of the department. We wouldn't want to deal with individual civil servants. We deal with the department. Well, some of the issues might be controversial. We might want to hear it from the horse itself. But well, let's keep on that, as Honorable Mahawi is saying, that on some of the issues, controversial or not, let's deal with the department. If there's need that they think that the person needs to come, it's them who decide. But we'll raise a number of issues with the department. Let's just leave it there. I think we've done item 4. Item 5. So what is going to happen is when we come back in the next meeting, we will come up with the refined activities. We already know of the key activities we're undertaking to finish up the year. But we will also come up with the refined activities for 2010 financial year, 2010-11, as per these discussions. But remember, we have a program which we adopted, a framework. I'll now go into, so those will be presented in the next meeting. I'll go into number 5. All we want to say on number 5, we're supposed to submit a report, the annual report, to Parliament and talk about our challenges. The challenges we have talked about on how this committee is operating, we'll just have to put them logically on paper. After we've given, because one of the things is going to show that we've not been able to achieve all we set ourselves because of, and we'll raise, we've talked about those particular problems and so on. So that framework, the secretary of the committee will be able to send you. It's just an activity, what we have done, when, and so on, and what are the financial implications, but it will include these activities we want to undertake up to the end of March, if we've been able to undertake them, because you might want to do it, then it's not approved. One of the issues which I think has come up in the forum of chairpersons with the house chair, why do we have a budget and a program, we submit them, it's approved. But when we have to spend, still we have to apply to somebody. Babuskosan, why do we do that? And then somebody can still reject that. Is it helping the committees? But I don't want you to answer that now.
No, Michelle, I cannot answer it.
It was the different house chair, and I also do the same. I apply for funds. That's the problem. Where you plan, the budget has been approved. When you want to implement, you stopped. It can't be. It must just happen on exceptional circumstances. That's a matter which we think that we need to deal with, because that's how our programs have been frustrated. So the committee secretary will circulate that draft report so that we're able to discuss it in the next meeting with all those challenges. In fact, I've seen that. It's a template. Oh, you've submitted that? Oh, it's there. Just a template of committee activities and so on. And we will comment on that in the next meeting. What would you suggest? What would you suggest, members? What would you suggest?
Well, Chair, is it going to assist us to have somebody here, or should the matter be dealt with the House Chair? If it be dealt with by the House Chair, then I think in your meeting, Chairperson, you must then relay, I think, the view of the committee about that matter, to say that it doesn't assist us.
I will also reinforce with other members, even if they wear other caps, even if they wear other caps, other members of this committee, just to give an understanding. Okay, that's fine. I will take it formally at that particular level where you're suggesting.
In fact, we have to have a report from you about how far you with the lobbying, because you've raised quite a lot of pertinent issues here that are frankly on your hands now. You've got to go and present us to the chair's meeting. So we would expect a report from you on what is the status quo, but I think you have the full report, support of the committee.
No, you're right, sir. I mean, you're right, Honorable. Ideally, if they agree with all these things, we must be running. But practically, we're not sure what's going to be the response. Certainly, you must be appraised of what is the response in terms of our plans. But this is a matter which I think we must be ready to raise it even within our parties, so that it goes even to other forums. It's not just for the committee. If this committee has to succeed in its mandate, it cannot be confined, and what is supposed to be oversight visits is just lumped together with study tours. It can't. It means this committee must be treated in terms of its special circumstances, because it's a special committee. In fact, I always put an argument which says the minister of the minister in this area or in international relations is hardly in the country because of the nature of the work she's doing. So is the DG. The same with the committee cannot just have an oversight here when a lot of work is done outside the country. And I think we must use any other forum to knock sense. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to have this committee. Any other business? Honorable Member Sunduza.
Chair, this was just out of my... Because the President has been raising a lot. I don't know how will this committee maybe do something about the issue of Haiti. Whether to make a statement or do something, because I saw other committees taking over more than us. But secondly, the other issue that I want to raise, the issue of training. I remember the last previous day, we've talked a lot about training. As you have just said, diplomacy training, I think it was a template, if I remember, whereby we said those are the priority training. For now, as we are still going to fight our battles up there, let's train. Well, they must come back fully. So I remember we even spoke about issues of languages. There was a lot we did not remember. I just want to check how far is that. Thank you.
Can we just include it as part of our debate in the next meeting? All these issues we have talked about. But maybe just talk about Haiti. I know that at the executive level there is a cabinet committee which is dealing with this particular matter, of course guided by the Minister in International Relations. I think that cabinet committee is led by Minister of Traditional Affairs and Local Government. Am I right? I think so. However, even our own ministry is involved in this. But I think as Parliament, we must also take interest into that. Maybe what we must do for now, we would need to say, because there's talk of reconstruction, that should be our focus. It can come either as part of member statements, but I think we must put it as an item in the agenda for the next meeting. On what is our contribution as this parliament. It might be important that not just even at the committee level, even at the speaker's level, we might have to something has to be done, even if it's symbolic. But I think the issue of the reconstruction must come in. We must take interest on what that executive committee is doing on that matter. But it doesn't stop us to express solidarity in the House. I'm not sure whether that statement can come from the committee or it's by individual members. Honorable Ubaba.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I think you're correct about the statement. The chair can make that statement in the House. I don't think there would be a problem with that. In fact, it's overdue, but when statements come, I think you can make that statement. Perhaps using the information from the department, because it looks as if they are also overseeing this issue of assistance of aid to Haiti. The department might give you information as to what kind of programs they are running for Haiti to assist the reconstruction. But the other thing that I wanted to know was, I saw in one of the booklets that we received during the opening, a flat one. Towards the end, it has the chairperson of, I think it's public enterprises, the Honorable Mentor, right? She's dealing with this issue of Haiti. I'm not sure then where is the connection with international relations, and you may want to find out so that we can then deal with the issue holistically rather than have.
Thanks, Honourable Muskasana. I think some of the members, even individually, have raised concerns. That it seems as if The scope, people have gone beyond their scope. It might have been something in our scope. The problem is some of the members are very energetic when it comes to media issues and so on. But maybe on behalf of this committee, I must initiate a discussion with that committee, maybe through the Speaker's office, just to have a discussion in terms of the scope, because we, even myself, I'm still baffled. But my legal understanding is also saying there was some initiative by the SAA, which is part of public enterprises. But I would have thought that a lot of work is done under ITGO here. So we will deal with that particular matter. By the way, what is the practice in Parliament when the work of a committee in terms of its scope sometimes overlaps into the other committee? I thought that it's logical that there will be consultations.
Of course. Sure.
I thought that was, but maybe I'll just initiate a meeting with the committee chairperson concerned, and we deal with that matter at that level.
Yeah.
But it's worth even there were even publications in Parliament.
Okay.
Any other business? Seeing that there is no other business, this meeting now has come to an end. We'll stand adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm going to another meeting at 12.